Champion, mon frère. Doute.
La frappe de Baltimore. Et c'est Nono. Cette fois-ci, on avait un doute sur l'action.
Hello and welcome to PST Review, also known as the podcast that gets no perfect 10, like the club itself for its 10th title, French Championship, but nevertheless delivers the good. Always, in many ways, only the results matter, and much like at Parc des Princes against Lens, or indeed for the most part of the season, the mood has been somber and the level of doing shaky at times, but we're here now as champions and that is what counts. To quote great Brazilian thinker and aphorist Luca Moura, Champion Monfrère. Congratulations to the whole club, of course, and its supporters. We deal with the current standoff between the two as well in this episode. And of course, we must talk about the continental football that we are still very much part of. This is Women's Champions League and its semi-finals, to be precise. PSG was in Lyon for that, and we discussed that a little later also. As I am recording this, the match literally just ended, like the match ended like some minutes ago, so it's all in the fresh memory. I'm still a little bit in those feelings, but it's all good. My name is Mikko, and you can find me and talk to me online at PSG Helsinki on Twitter, as well as on Instagram. It's the same one, at PSG Helsinki, and you can also email me your thoughts if you so wish, and that is also psghelsinki@gmail.com. Just that I was about to start recording this moments after the Women's Champions League match ended, there was also sort of semi-reliable rumors about the possible settlement being reached with Pochettino. If true, that will be a big news story, of course, and, you know, for some time to come. And who would it be to take over? What's going to happen? We will see. In this episode, we aren't talking about that. I'm just sort of acknowledging that if this is something that in the next hours or next days is going to become a big thing, you know, it's only just now happening. There aren't any hard facts available, so there won't be any speculation from my side either. We will have time to discuss that in the future episodes. There was no PSG review episode after the midweek match against Angers on the road, and that was actually the first match where the title could have been confirmed. The requirement on that match day 33, that was the midweek one, was for PSG to get more points than the current runner-up, which is must say. All in all, at that point in time, it was clear that any 4 points from the last 6 matches at the time would do, even if OM were to win all of its remaining matches, which is not an easy thing to do either. So that, you know, match then saw some rotation. There were some key absentees. We're going to go through the main things about that match briefly. Many absentees such as Kimpembe, Messi, Neymar, Verratti. But the young players, they were still also largely absent from the starting line. Abdina Ebimbe was there going forward with Mbappe and Di Maria. But the story goes that Icardi was meant to play instead of him, but he had injured himself and subsequently ended his own season during the warm-ups, however that might have happened. Time will tell if that injury was his last contribution to the PSG folklore. There are signs towards that. Three at the back with Marquinhos, Ramos and Kerrer, Navas in goal, Bernat and Hakimi and wingbacks, and Wijnaldum and Danilo between them in stud Raymond Kopa. Some chances both directions early on in the match, and PSG benefited. I mean, this is not really great. Benefit is maybe a wrong verb, but nevertheless, PSG benefited from the misfortune of Angers and their most dangerous player in the first sort of 10 minutes, Sofiane Boufour. He fell and got some sort of injury. I'm really wishing him quick recovery. He was playing really well. It was quite exciting to watch, as exciting as it is to watch an opponent play, but you can appreciate a good efforts that are there. He already tested Navas with pretty vicious long shot, which Navas stretched in the end with not too much bother, but lesser keeper could have found themselves surprised there. It was pretty solid long distance shot. Some chances, you know, for sure, headers from few corners that didn't end up in. And finally, just before half an hour, certain Kylian Mbappe got the ball from Hakimi, ran forward and smashed the ball in with the top of his foot just from outside the box. It was very beautiful goal, like real nice stuff, genuinely. Angers also had their chances. The three at the back wasn't really working perhaps as well as it had before, or, you know, perhaps it didn't work as well as it could have, but nothing irreversible. There are no goals for the home side. The second PSG goal came on additional time before the break, before the halftime. Mbappe played short corner to Di Maria, who found his current and also his former teammate from the days of La Liga from those guys, Sergio Ramos, who headed it in for 0-2 for PSG. I can tell you this much, the Angers defense won't be reminiscing the performance on that goal with any particular warmth or nostalgia. You know, it was nothing for them to tell their grandkids by the fireside one day. Perhaps they will mention who they were playing against, but not necessarily the details how it went. They were just sort of standing there seeing it all happen from sort of Spike Lee tickets, as they say in America, but not really reacting to it in any way, while Ramos found himself in space with time, nobody bothering him, so he is not going to miss from there. Third goal before 80 minutes as Angel Di Maria got his second assist of the night with perfect ball to the area where there was Marquinhos, who headed it in. If he had missed, if Marquinhos would have missed, right there next to him was free Wijnaldum, who could have scored. And if even Wijnaldum would have not gotten the ball, there was also Sergio Ramos after him. Three players, all free, all played onside by one defender, so Anches were not having great night defensively, but you know, these things, they sometimes happen, and when you're playing against world-class players, they happen even more often. 0-3 PSG took the 3 points, and a lot of chances, but you know, pretty wasteful finishing on the night, so it was what it was. But when you have a clean sheet and score 3 goals, for the most part, you know, there can't be too many complaints, even if it, you know, wasn't that great match, if I'm being honest. Noteworthy things from this match must be mentioned. Very questionable red card moments before the match ended to Edouard Michoud, who came in. He was playing the ball when Angers' player came in from behind and tackled him off of his feet. There was no ball contact in that tackle, but you know, nevertheless, that tackle, it sent Michoud's feet sort of involuntarily and uncontrollably to the Angers player's legs, studs first. So red card was given, but it was a mad one. I think quite nonsensical decision. There was absolutely nothing that our young midfielder could have done. Very sort of unfortunate, but the decision stood. It stood and the red card was given. It was like one of those things from the playground when someone takes your hand and starts hitting another person with your hand and blaming you. Kind of that kind of vibe. Although, of course, the Angers player wasn't necessarily trying to do that with his tackle, but that's essentially what happened. Another noteworthy thing, El Jadai Bichiapu, our 16-year-old super promise, came in late on making his Ligue 1 debut. Congratulations to him, and as such now he has become French champion, but let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. Angel Di Maria, 2 assists, now has 290 matches. Well, he has 291 because he also played against Lens, but at this point, after this match, he had 290 matches and 200 goal contributions to PSG with 90 goals and the club record 110 assists. That's impressive to me. To me, there's no doubt that Di Maria is a club legend. Some people say I use the term very loosely, too liberally. And it's true, I do. It is true that I have called some people club legends in my moment of excitement that aren't necessarily club legends, but with Angel Di Maria, I stand behind all of those times that I have called him club legend. I really remember first time when he came, his first minutes, he came from the bench. Was it against Monaco? I'm not quite sure, but anyway, he gave this phenomenal assist to Lavecchi, his friend and compatriot, who soon after left to China to become one of the best paid footballers in the world at the time, but that is a story for another time. Di Maria, He was like, it was so exciting. He was very solid from the beginning. Of course, he has had some bad patches here and there. We who have been following this club know this very well, and there's no need to be dishonest about it. You know, there's times when football didn't working out so well for him, and he looked almost, you know, I don't want to use clinical words, like misuse them, but he looked almost depressed sometimes. He was just not having any spark in him and that. But there's also been many times, like very notably, the time when he saved us from an embarrassment, humiliation at the UCL group stage in the autumn of 2018 when he scored this amazing goal out of thin air in Naples when it looked like we might be heading to Europa League. So he has been a clutch player. He has been a key player, certainly a player that I am so happy that we have had in our side. And by the way, the time that we were playing against Napoli, we were playing against them at when Di Maria did this thing, it was the year when there was also Liverpool in the group, in our Champions League group, and we ended up in the end winning that group over the soon-to-be Champions League winners Liverpool, which is again another story for another day. But my point is that what a player Angel Di Maria has been for us for many years. He's played with Zlatan and Cavani, he's played with Neymar, Mbappe, and now even with Messi and many, many others. I mean, of course, he's also played with Benjamin Stambouli, Big Crack, Krychowiak, and Hesse. You know, not just amazing players, but he has been here, and I'm full of gratitude because of it. Now, however, his contract is running out, and this is live. He is largely sort of he's lost their starting position with some of the recent recruitments and also the way that perhaps we are playing or that we should be playing. Sometimes his style has been clashing quite a lot with Hakimi, and Hakimi, who is like a big investment also and an amazing player, they haven't really worked so well together, and with Messi and Neymar and Mbappe, it's not easy for him to get minutes, and he is a very expensive player to have as a backup. You know, the squad also needs some rejuvenation, and it's time, I feel, to humbly thank his efforts all the years. This is a club legend for all the good, even not so good times. We can thank him, everything that we have shared together, and wish him well for his next adventure. You know, we can't be offering 10 years here, unfortunately, as we need to add pace, not slow the team down. It can happen when players are reaching a certain age. He did come as a very, very fast, very rapid player. He was incredibly fast, but not quite on that same level. Of course, his gamesmanship, he's sort of like a game brain, his football IQ is incredible, but nevertheless, that's not always enough, especially these days when the game's very physical and also very fast many times. We will see what the future holds for him, and I wish him well. I'm sure he is going somewhere. He might have like one or two seasons on top somewhere. He might even do incredibly well against us if it so happens, you know. But with all the information that is currently available right now, and considering what his role is in this team, I would say that it's time to say thank you and adios with all the love to Angel Di Maria. But back to the Ligue 1 table, Marseille also won their match that same time, so the title wasn't yet won and confirmed at Stade Raymond Kopa, which meant that regardless of anything else, even a draw, a poxy 1 point would confirm it at Parc des Princes against RC Lens. This match against Lens wasn't great entertainment, it wasn't. In fact, it was very boring, actually quite boring. I won't get into it in any massive detail. We had most of our stars back, had three at the back, and Golazo by Messi. Lens defender Kevin Danso took his second yellow, so PSG had one player advantage, and when Messi banged in his trademark goal, kind of long-distance goal, outside of the box, which we haven't seen too much in PSG shirt, you know, it started all looking very promising. Basically, the reality was that at minimum, our job was not to concede two unanswered goals against 10 men Lens in the last 20 minutes. And ideally, of course, you know, that's the minimum, but ideally to confirm the club's 10th title with clear victory and dignity over Lens, who after all, in the recent years, you know, since their return to Ligue 1 in 2020, has been a tough opponent to us. You know, they've been taking points from us before. And of course, the answer was A. You know, we conceded one goal, which was, you know, okay. But the title itself was confirmed. It was enough. The draw was enough. And in the same spirit, it was confirmed as it had been won. I think it was fairly fitting. An underwhelming season that will be remembered probably for all the wrong reasons, no doubt. But the results, as far as Ligue 1, even if not Coupe de France and Champions League, you know, they were there. The title, it's something. And 10th title, that's something else also. Because I don't want to come across like I don't appreciate the title. And that doesn't even matter if it was the 10th title, if it was the first, the 10th, or the 15th. It's great and a huge honor. But let's look a little bit under the hood here and see what this machine has inside of it. The Ultras. we are always coming back to the Ultras. Recently, they have been one of the main actors, main stakeholders of this season, it feels. Not necessarily initially from the very beginning. I mean, they always have their place in the center of this whole operation. But at the same time, it has to be said that that more recently, they have taken the center stage in many ways, and they have been, you know, largely boycotting the men's team and protesting also the club's hierarchy. You know, staying away from the stadium, being silent at the stadium and whistling and booing at the stadium. The banners, the statements, the hurt, the pain. I feel like I might break into a DMX song soon, but there have been many complaints by them towards the club and from the club, especially by the players towards them as well. You know, it's not just one directional. No one seems to come halfway to sort this out, despite the fact that I'm sure everyone needs to understand that this situation needs to be solved. We can't be living in the standoff forever. There's just too much riding on this symbiosis. There's a symbiotic relationship between the Ultras and the team and the locker room and the boardroom and all of that, because the people at the stands, the Ultras, they're the ones who make the noise. They are the atmosphere at the stadium. And that's a lot. That's a huge part. And to be honest with you, I don't really think that we can afford to lose that. Against Lars, the Ultras had declared that they will walk out of the stadium after 75 minutes of play if the results look promising and they go outside of the Parc des Princes to celebrate the 10th title. Well, this is what they did, and the party looked pretty fun, as much as we were they were having it, and we were seeing us who were not there present, we were seeing it from the social media videos, mainly by the various people who were participating, not so much through the official channels, but deep down, you know, there seems to be a fundamental refusal to see each other's point. And that's a little bit, that's a problem, and feelings are hurt and all that, but when you're being paid a lot of money and when you know what your whole purpose to be there is, we should put the emotions a little bit to the side. Or even we can acknowledge that the feelings have been hurt, but we need to find solutions. To me, this is not a very complicated matter in theory. I can't stress enough, in theory, even if practice, it very much is. But what we're talking about here is a complaint, and in my opinion, pretty legitimate complaint, that for this season especially, the club has for the most part played without heart, merely, you know, meeting their contractual obligations. Pochettino's time will be remembered as one with no solutions, no imaginations, and not much courage. It's been what it has been. And perhaps it is a question of the structures above him and the fact that PSG coaches don't have all that much wiggle room. They can go elsewhere and do really great, but all of them for the most part, or many of them don't do so well in Paris. Thomas Tuchel did for some time, but even for him, it kind of like the ending wasn't a roar, it was a whimper. But, you know, that doesn't change the facts that Pochettino has been underwhelming regardless of the circumstances around him or the structures above him. And not in any way, he has looked like he has tried his hardest and failed. It just looks, it has looked like it kind of lacks the passion and spirit for the project, which I'm sure he has. It just doesn't really come across at all. And if you allow me to interpret this experience from my angle, he has never just seemed too committed or bothered. He has been excusing awful displays, coming up with tired excuses, insisting on them and repeating his mistakes over and over again. He just simply stubbornly refused to learn from any of the mistakes, and there's been quite a few. The marketing project, however, is on top of the world. Football-wise, we were humiliated once again, certainly in Europe. It's not all there is, but it is something that there is. And the players keep on being flabbergasted. Their mantra is that it was disappointing for them too to lose in Real Madrid, and they can't understand because it was a difficult thing for them too, but we must get over it and the fans must get over it and all this stuff. But Real Madrid was not the be-all and end-all. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. If it was a hard-fought, two-legged contest, which we just happened to lose, I mean, sure, it would have been easier matter altogether to handle it, to sort of go through it. But since it was 108 minutes of football and we dominated maybe 160 of them quite easily, and we were the better team, but crashed down like a house of cards in a hurricane with Benzema's 17-minute hat-trick when we showed up no character at all. Our millionaires, they crumpled under the pressure, or then they just didn't care. So this is what we don't know. But it's one or the other, or something else that my imagination is not good enough to sort of cover. And I'm sure it, you know, was not the first option that they didn't care. I'm sure that they did care, but we have been here before and this should not happen. It shouldn't happen. Yet it's been the story of the season, as the priorities have been outside of the sporting project, or at least that's how it has felt. So it is what it is. Also, the women's team has been struggling with certain issues that have been left unaddressed, right? This is one of the other complaints that the ultras have been saying. We know the situations more or less. There has been a lot of drama in the women's team with Hamruai, with Diallo, the whole lot. And now Katoto's renewal extension seem to be also depending on some of these things. And this has been either left unaddressed, or then it has been addressed, but you know, in a way that it's not very coherent and clear, and such that the players themselves would appreciate that. That certainly seems to be the case, no matter how well they are doing this season in Europe and in France also. But either way, who knows what they've done to address it? Maybe something. I'm sure they have done something, but it's also been difficult environment for them. That seems clear. It hasn't been easy. Nobody ordered that. It was something. But sometimes when you are there on top, difficult situations find you, and then you have to stand up for the occasion. So there's like this entire atmosphere. It's not just a result of one match, unlike what the players seem to insist, you know. In all fairness, while I'm all for these players, I mean, I really like these players, I'm behind them, I'm a supporter of PSG, and I get also that they are in a difficult situation themselves, but this kind of stubborn, willful misunderstanding of fairly simple idea seems so bizarre to me, you know, but I'm sure there are circumstances for them too. But surely they must understand what this is about, that this is not about one match. Even if that match was, you know, crazy, and even if that situation was crazy, but it's just been a long, long season with very little entertainment value, not a lot of aesthetics. There's been some highlights. Mbappe has been great. Danilo has raised his profile. A lot of people are criticizing Danilo whenever they can, and I find myself trying to compensate that, always taking his side and saying that actually he's been one of the most key players this season for us. And I would say that if all of our superstars would have the work ethic, the mentality and the perseverance, even the physical stamina of Danilo, we would be there in the mix fighting for the big trophy. Who knows if that's true? I mean, of course, it's the speculation. And the way that ultras have behaved, how the kind of choice of actions that they have taken. I'm not criticizing them in any way. I'm not in a position to criticize the ultras. I think that they are PSG. I think they have the case to be made that they are the PSG more than almost anybody else. So I come from a different culture with them. I think that I look at things culturally differently, and I think that that would inform that my choices of actions would maybe be a little bit different. Maybe I would approach it differently, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is for me. I wouldn't choose the same actions, but I feel like they have been fairly clear, and this thing won't be fixed unless it is being appreciated and understood, even acknowledged. The ultras aren't freeloaders in this case at all. Like, without them, Parc des Princes is a husk of itself, whether with the help of a mediator. This was suggested to me on Twitter. I thought that was a great idea. I like the sound of that. Or through some other means, there needs to be a coming together of all the stakeholders in this to see this thing through. Of course, like said, as with everything, it's not easy. And one of the challenges here is also that who are the stakeholders from the club, for instance? How long are they there? You know, the ultras don't care for Pochettino or Leonardo, so they don't. That they are kind of like the problem. So I don't know, perhaps there should be a leak from the club telling them in hushed voices that the change is coming. Please be patient. Let's not make it a big deal. But the change is coming. It just takes a moment. That, of course, if the change is coming, we don't know. We don't have any evidence of that quite yet. But who knows if in the near future we will. It's a complicated thing, but we seem to want to further complicate it from what it already was. But we keep things moving because needs must. And up next, Women's Champions League semi-finals. Like I said, this match has just ended. At the moment, half an hour ago, PSG women were in Lyon. Undoubtedly, as I record, they might still be there in Lyon. But either way, last season we knocked OL out at this stage. And here we are again. Most of our players were fit to start the match, even if form has been called to question for some of our key players. The starting lineup was unsurprising, with one exception, kind of notable exception. I quite liked it before the match. I thought that, okay, that's a statement. That's a statement. The one exception that our very promising young midfielder, Larina Fraser, who's, I think, just the last international break, was the captain of the French youth team, was the starter in the midfield next to Captain Gioro and Sarah Dabrich. There, that was the midfield that we had. With PSG, there's kind of like pretty clear, if everybody's fit, the 10 players, that's pretty straightforward. And then there's one midfielder. Who is it going to be that time? And we've had many problems with the midfield this year. We started with much better options than what we are, because Diallo and Hamrui are both midfielders, and Luana hasn't quite yet been able to come back properly and all that. So there's always that one player. Who is it? It was Larina Fraser. Tentative start for this match for a few minutes, but then quite early on, early enough, I would say around 6 minutes, who else but Marie-Antoinette Katoto. She gets the ball in the box from Sarah Dabrits, and she puts the ball behind Endler, who of course still 1 year ago played for us. And all this despite Renard sort of pulling her in all sort of sketchy ways. It's not easy to stop Katoto, that's what I'm telling you. And the situation, it started from OL holding the ball in their area. Then Sandy Baltimore put the pressure on them and stole the ball, gave it to Dabrits, and voila. That was it. It was 1-0-0-1 because we were the away team. It was a brilliant start. And it took the early pressure away from the team. It kind of opened it. I think this kind of match can easily become a little bit of a deadlock because these teams also, they know each other very well and all that stuff. But it was a really great start for the match. And also it turned the pressure on for OL, you know. But we were able to have domination and some reasonable chances, several corners and such. After 20 minutes, the situation at our court, Votikova did a great save from basically a free shot, but the ball bounced in front of her, which is something that happens. But I mean, these are free shots also. I'm not blaming on her for that. She then dived, you know, after the ball to get it back. OL player fell. You know, I was trying to study the slow motion as much as it was available. They weren't very, the dozen that does the broadcast through YouTube, they weren't really like forthcoming with the slow motions and repeats and that. So I wasn't really able to see very well how the ball bounced, how did she get a touch. But apparently, according to the referee, Votikova didn't get a touch to the ball, and OL player was ready to dive down as she had been hit by a bullet or something. This is very much something that they were doing the whole match also. It's also something that happens in football. I mean, you know, this has happened before with some of our players in men. Not so much in women, but I'm sure also there. As the old truth goes, penalty pour Lyon. While Votikova was fairly well on board with Renard's penalty shot, it just went in, and it was 1-1. A little bit harsh on Votikova, I feel, but her troubles continued. It was only getting worse. A very poor goal kick directly to OL that released them alone against her, and now OL was one goal up in quite quick succession. It was at this point I felt that we needed the halftime to come so that we could collect the thoughts and calm down. Just calm down. But there was still 10 minutes to go, you know. But even without the moment to recruit, PSG got their act together, which was a positive thing to see, I feel. Like the professionals that they are, of course they are. The momentary collapse remained momentary, and there was good pressure also towards Endler's goal. there. Nothing in the direction to change the scoreline for the first half. The take-home message was that anything is possible. We weren't the worst team on the pitch anyway. We with shaky performances by Dudek wasn't really great. She has not been on her level. And I think her level is very good. But she hasn't been on that good level. Yeah, she has struggled after her recent injury. And Votikova also had some room to improve. Not all of those situations were necessarily her fault. And it was kind of like that. But I still feel a little bit like she's going to be a great goalkeeper. But this is now about the mental strength. That if she's able to turn these errors, these mistakes, and put them behind her and not create this kind of like, that is some kind of a curse. Like, you know what, this is just a PSG thing to happen sometimes. It's a peak PSG situation that we then the players start reliving these errors and it becomes sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. We have seen this before, so I really hope that she gets the support and that she needs. You know, same for Dudek. The first half ended with us dominating the possession slightly and the numbers were otherwise, they weren't alarming even if we were behind in goals. Around 50 minutes, and I don't really have the strength to talk about this too much. I mean, something so silly happened, to be honest with you. I felt so embarrassed on behalf of Votikova and Dudek that I couldn't really watch the reruns initially. I mean, I did then. But initially, I just had to look away. You know, they made a huge mess and the ball just ended up going in. Kind of who takes the ball and then nobody does. It's a stuff that happens in the kids' game. I see that when I'm coaching 10-year-olds, you know, even now I don't see it as much. But when they were 7, 8, 9, I saw that kind of things happening. Very unfortunate turn of events. In the end, it was really about Dudek, who left what they call very confused with little time to react and her reflex wasn't great, and it just the ball went in and man oh man. Dudek, she had pretty awful match, if I'm being honest. Certainly for very long time. She got a little bit back by scoring a penalty after a handball in the box that made it 3-2 just before 1 hour was played. So she did kind of improve, but yeah, there were other mistakes there as well that had come before that we need her on her usual level because we know that she's a good player. Lyon, yeah, they're a funny one. It's a funny one. They really demand every touch on them to be penalized. And after each touch, they shout and scream and make this huge circus around them. I really don't want them to get to the final. Like, I really don't want them to get to the final. That is what I want for PSG. That's what I want for us. But I had wished earlier, if I'm being entirely honest, and maybe this is a little bit petty, but I had wished earlier in earlier rounds that they would have played against Barcelona because Barcelona is like a wrestling club with some technique as well. I'm not taking away from their technical ability. Of course, they have that. But like Spanish women's football is that's brutal. That's harsh. And it would have been kind of funny to see. I mean, not funny, but it is such a contrast, you know, that if you have one club that is just rolling over players and one club that is just complaining and complaining and complaining and both of them are feeling so entitled for every decision by the referee. So I would not have wanted to be a referee in that match. So, you know, I don't know how that would work. That kind of attitude. I hope we won't find out. But women's football in France, it isn't as physical as it is, for instance, in Spain. I think I'm not a specialist expert on Spanish women's football, but having seen some of those teams, like when PSG was playing against Real Madrid, they were not really very good team, but they were hostile. I am going to choose my word, and that is a hostile. Oh well, they can dish it, but not take it. That's my very biased analysis, like very biased, but you know, I really find it very difficult. That kind of attitude, as a top club in Europe for so long, they have some delusions of grandeur don't stick, and it's tiresome. It's tiresome to look at that every single time that somebody is like touching them, there should be something happening, and they're just shouting. Anyway, it's a little difficult. And to the match anyway, there was injuries, there were breaks, the whole sort of rhythm for the most part it disappeared. Some chances, but the quality dropped, I think, significantly. It became a kind of shooting match where a goal could have happened either way. And both of those options would have had a huge impact for the return leg next week. like said, Dudek raised her level after goal, which was a good news, and Votikko was also pretty good. She did catch a couple of free shots that were like really a great saves. I didn't know her before she came to PSG, and then I realized that she's some kind of influencer, and I thought that this is a kind of a marketing kind of joke where we just want to have, not a joke, but you know, we want to have like online visibility by hiring a player who is also online influencer. But these things seem to be quite separate. She's a very good goalkeeper. I apologize and take all my suspicion away. I regret that she's a good player. She's a good goalkeeper, but we have to also remember that she's coming from a very different level, in that now she's in the top of the Europe playing these toughest teams, and it's not necessarily easy, and I really hope that she can get her mentality in order, and stay strong and find that psychological edge. And I think she's going to be one to watch, like really a lot of promise there. Yeah, that's all. Women, they continue against OL next Saturday evening at Park, all to play for. I'm feeling fairly optimistic. I will have to say that I'm feeling fairly optimistic based on what I saw in the first match. Yeah, there were some errors there. They were costly. But all in all, I feel like we are stronger in many ways. We are the more progressive side. That is my analysis. Like I said, a biased analysis, but analysis nevertheless. Men play the next night after the Women's Champions League in the same place against Troy. And we can hope for a lot of rotation. Fingers crossed, now that the title has been secured, that certainly was the promise that this is something that should happen. Thank you so much for this, for you to have listened to this show. I have had listeners now from almost 50 different countries, I think 48 or 49 when I was checking it. So for me, as a kind of global citizen, as I identify as a global citizen, to me it's an incredibly cool thing. So thank you so much. My name is Mikko. Find me online on Twitter and Instagram at PSG Helsinki. This is the PSG Review. More next time, and until that, take care. Peace.